Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Now, here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Now, of course, back to Area 51. Bob Lazar, who claimed to have worked out at that place, reversed engineered things, saw strange things. September 20th, 2 million people almost have signed up saying that they're going to storm the place. I think it's a mistake. Now, I don't think we're going to get that many people out there, but even if 10,000 people are out there, that's a problem.
Even if it's 5,000 people out there, it's a problem. I mean, the government takes their work extremely seriously at these bases. And, of course, there is always going to be this public fascination about this. But you're so right when you say this, George. You've seen it. I've seen it. They're not messing around here. The work that they do there, they are going to keep it protected for a reason. And some of the reasons we know for sure, some of them we don't know. And that's the way that these bases work. And so when I first started reading about this, I thought, well, this is pretty entertaining, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to be a joke.
It's a joke, right? You know, it's like, this is pretty funny. Let's do this. And then I worry about the people that, you know, are some, you know, frame of mind or they're just really, you know, upset with the government for one reason or the other. And they think that this is kind of a stance they can take that will get them on to the base. And as you said, George, and I've heard you say it several times before on the air, it's just a bad idea. It's just a bad idea to put yourself in harm's way. And I think the thing to harness here is that there is this interest in Area 51 and all of this knowledge that the government may or may not have. And if you really want to know this, there are so many more effective ways of trying to find it out than storming Area 51. It's just not a good idea.
Watch the government stymie them and simply say, folks, we're going to let you on the base, but not today. We want this organized and controlled. We're not going to have a million people running all over the place. You're going to come in buses. We're going to charter them for you, and that'll defuse it.
That would defuse it. I don't think that day's ever going to come.
No, but everybody will still say, you're not showing us the real stuff.
Of course, right? And that's the thing that I think everybody will always say, and I think they have a reason to say it because, I mean, the government is not going to – there are just some things that the government is just not going to open up to the public to see. And, you know, it's what's made it one of the great legends of our time and stories of our time. And I don't think even – I call it stories, but it is deeply rooted in fact, and you know, a lot of people have spent considerable work trying to expose what really happened there. So I get it. I get people's fascination. I have the same fascination, but I do think we have to be realists. I think we have to think about this and go about it smarter ways than storming Area 51.
Absolutely. I think primarily that base is used for military technology that is beyond anything we can even comprehend right now. Do they have reverse engineered UFOs that they they have? Maybe. That's possible. But I think primarily it's a military installation. They've got high technology there, and they're not going to let a mouse go across that fence line.
They're not, and they shouldn't. I have deep, deep respect for our men and women in the military and what they have to go through to keep us safe. I'm also an investigative journalist, so I'm constantly pressing the military for answers, and usually, thanks to really brave men and women that will come forward with problems they see in the military. It's not a perfect institution, but you do have to take a lot of respect and thought when it comes to the reasons of testing whatever they have to test out there. It's one of the great debates of our time is if there is knowledge of life beyond our planet, and the government has this, if that knowledge comes out, what it would truly do to our world, what it would do to religion, and really everything would shift. Everything would shift if that kind of proof came out. So I'm sure that if there's something that the government knows that we don't know, and they're guarding these secrets, that's a lot to do with it. And that's a lot to what I get into in The Dark Above, especially, is this thought of what would happen if people start believing this and there is proof of this? And what if people in the government start to realize that they too have been misled? Of course, my book is a story of fiction, but I think it is definitely an issue for us all to think about is if this proof came out. Let's say these people stormed Area 51 and they found some kind of proof, and the ripple effect that it would have on our economy, our world, would be, I think, difficult for us to really comprehend until it happened. It would just be a game changer for everyone.
You could see pictures of the people standing by UFOs on Facebook.
You would, and it'd be like, hey, my profile picture's here with me and the alien that they did the inspection on. So yeah, it would definitely be a game changer.
I've got to give my colleague George Knapp credit, also Jeremy, for sticking his neck out covering so many UFO stories that he has done on television.
Yeah.
He of course works in Las Vegas,
right?
And you're under a lot of criticism and fire when you deal with these stories on a regular basis.
Oh, you do. And, along with my respect for the whistleblowers that come out, but also for any of the journalists or scientists that do put themselves out there, that, come forward and ask these kind of questions. But again, I like to think that we have moved more into a public conscious, hopefully, of, listen, I've heard you talk about it, you and I have talked about it, this whole realm of fake news and how this plagues journalists, and your listeners, I think, will understand this, is that everybody listening to this show has that desire to know the truth. And so for the men and women that go out there and really pursue that truth, whatever they're doing, if they're in the military or if they're scientists or if they're researchers or if they're journalists, and they stick their neck out to really and put their careers on the line and face this kind of scrutiny, I applaud them. I stand with them. I just got back from our yearly conference of investigative reporters and editors, and I really feel like that there was this, how we're all kind of uniting in this scrutiny that we're all facing. And we all know deep down inside, I mean, nobody does this for the money. Nobody does this for the fame and glory. It's truly a passion for uncovering the truth. And so it's an interesting road for me to walk as a journalist that is deeply rooted in reality, and I can't afford to have facts wrong in my stories, to then also writing speculative fiction that does free me up a little bit. But the one commonality I think between the two is even in my fiction, even in my novels, they will be deeply rooted in factuality and research, because I think that's what makes a great story, not only a nonfiction story, but a great fiction story. If it's real and you've got the facts to back it up, it brings that for people to trust and I think enjoy it a little bit more as well. So I applaud your colleague. I applaud everything he does every weekend he's on.
What do you think of the alien abduction situation? You know, I know Travis Walton well. You know, he was abducted years ago. Books written about him, movies done about him, Fire in the Sky.
Sure.
He and his logger friends passed lie detector tests.
Right.
What do you think the alien abduction phenomena is?
So, you know, I get this question asked to me a lot because of the books, and very, you know, thankfully the books have been, you know, featured in People magazine and gotten really very kind reviews from NPR and the New York Post. And so I get this asked a lot by readers. They'll be like, well, what do you think? You know, what do you believe? And here's where I'm at. I'm actually at a different place than I was a year ago when I first talked to you, George, when The Darkest Time of Night came out. Because it was still and will always be a big skeptic, right? I mean, it's what we are. We're skeptics. But I have spoken to so many people in the past year with these extraordinary stories, and these are not people seeking fame. These are people that will come up at book signings. These are people that will write to me. One of them was a friend of my in-laws out in Florida, and these people say, look, you know, they've got these stories that are just incredible of what they've seen, what they've encountered, what they've thought, what they've experienced. And my thought is they're not lying. And when people ask me the question, well, do you believe? And I said, well, I'll tell you this, I don't believe that people are lying.
Right.
And you know,
it's
so
same with people who see Bigfoot. I don't think they're all lying. I think most of them are telling the truth.
I think they are. I think they have seen something that they can't understand and they can't explain. And, you know, it's speaking of Hynek, you know, his job obviously was to disprove all of this until he became a believer himself. And that's where I'm at right now, is that I believe these people.
And by the way, don't you think that story alone of J. Allen Hynek going from skeptic for the government to a believer, to the fact that he set up a study group and also, you know, wrote books about this and became a staunch believer, and I'll tell you the case that I've been told was the one that convinced him, is got to be one of the greatest stories out there. But the UFO case that turned him around was the late police officer Lonnie Zamora in Socorro, New Mexico, who claimed that he saw a couple aliens outside of a space capsule in the desert of New Mexico, and they got in it and took off. And that story convinced Hynek so much, he became a believer.
Yeah.
But don't you think the Hynek story and his change is one of the greatest stories to convince people there's
Absolutely.
Something going on?
Yeah, you know, the thing that I love about his story is what you just said, George, is that he was such a skeptic. He was a hired skeptic. He was on the payroll to go out and disprove this. And this is what I tell people all the time. I said, you know what? It's great to be a skeptic. Be a skeptic. Doubt what's going on. You know, that's the mindset we should all be. We should all be critical thinkers about all of this.
He may have been a believer, but a paid actor by the government.
Right. But I've read a lot about him, and I really do think he was an academic. He was an academic that truly was here to analyze and to look at all of this and really struggled with it, right? I think that was one thing that I've taken away from everything I've read about him, is he really struggled with this. Even after he came out and really talked about being a believer himself, I think that is the great story of his life, and what should be a lesson for all of us is to be this skeptic, doubt this, but then you got to keep an open mind. And when people will come up and tell me their stories, and they have nothing to gain. They don't want any attention. They don't want me to write about it. They don't want me to broadcast about it. They just want to say, this is what happened to me. This is what I saw. And so I believe the people, and that's where I stand. I believe them.
Are you hearing more and more reports, Jeremy, of these hybrid programs?
You know, I've read a lot about it. I try to really, like, there was an advertisement for MUFON
right before,
and you know, those guys are pros. I spent so much of my time doing research on them, and especially their work in the 1960s, and because I am far from being an expert on this, just someone that is fascinated by it and uses that research to write novels, I tend to look to them for answers about this, to where to what they have found out and what they've been looking into. You know, I always refer back to them, but it's interesting, and I do hear a lot about it. I hear you know, people talk about it, and I hear people tell stories of it, and it's really just, you know, fascinating. And I think it's part of my job as a journalist just to listen, right? That is a huge part of what I do, is just to listen to people's stories and not pass judgment. I think people talk about it. I think that there, again, as we've talked about in the last hour or so, there's this fascination with it. And, you know, people just, they want to talk, and they want to be able to have their voices heard. And I think that's one of the great things about our time, is that you can share this. And I just ask, you know, your listeners, and I ask people to just keep an open mind. And, you know, if don't dismiss someone that they're crazy just because they have had an experience that they can't explain. I think that's one of the great mysteries of our time.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.